This morning, I'm trying something I've not done in a long time. I'm going to be preaching from index cards. Pray for me. It's been about 25 years, I think, since I've done this. But you seem so quiet to me this morning. You're making me nervous. You're making me a little nervous. Well, I'm going to tell you the joke I was going to tell Phil, but don't tell him that I told you, okay? This was on Pinterest. It's for 70-year-olds. Oh, never mind. Okay. At your age, John Glenn was still an active astronaut. Ramon Blanco climbed the highest mountain of each and every continent. Hiroshi Hoketsky competed in the Olympics. And there's a life in the old dog yet. So I wanted to ask Phil today, and I'm going to ask you that have had birthdays, that are having birthdays, for some of you that have retired or have just retired, now that you're 10 years older, or now that you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, what is your goal for this next decade of your life? Something for you. Are you Olivia? Oh, is that your girlfriend? Hi, girlfriend. Hi. Good to meet you, Abby. Sorry. I'm putting names together. Helen, everything. So good to have you here, Abigail. So good to have you here. Anyway, so I do want to ask you, Rita was telling me before service that she sang, where is Rita? There she is. Rita sang her very first solo when she was 64 years old. So nobody in this place better not tell me they're too old to do something for the first time or do something new in this decade, because I believe you can. This morning is the fourth sermon of seven in our summer series called First Impressions and Lasting Impressions. We've looked at Noah and David and the Samaritan woman. And when I reread my message from last week, half of my message was reviewing those three characters. We're not doing that today. We're going to talk about Paul next week, and a lot like John today, we are just skimming the surface, I'm telling you, because there's a reason for that. Then after that, we're going to talk about a little old lady in the Bible. I love it. And then we're going to talk about an unlikely disciple, and we'll wrap up this summer series. What am I doing with my cards? Okay, sorry. Oh, my goodness sakes. Maybe I am going to lose them in this fan. So this week, I had the great idea that I'm going to preach on the life of John. And I've never really examined the entire life of John. And after I did, I thought, oh my word, this is a series. This isn't a sermon. So we're going to come back to that with his pre-birth, his birth, his preaching ministry, his baptizing ministry, and his death. But we're just going to do that, okay? So we're not going to get all of it today, or you'll be here till 3 o'clock. So when you study a character in the Bible, you look every verse in the Bible about what it says about John the Baptist. So I read Matthew, what he had to say. You know, Matthew, the one that starts with this ginormous genealogy. You go to Mark, Jesus isn't even born, and he's baptized and in ministry. He had such urgency about his writing. And Luke, one of my favorites, Luke tells us everything except Jesus' birth, his weight, and his length. I love Luke. He's a man of detail. And John says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Who was with God in the beginning? I know you know. And what was the beginning we're talking about here? Creation, right? In Genesis, we read, let us make man in our image. Let us, plural, make man in our, plural, our image. Who is us and who is our? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is power in that name. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are present with us when we are baptized, when we're born. They give us a new heart and a new life. Literally, we're born not of flesh, but also of spirit. To many people, their lives began at baptism. That's when their life really, truly began. My professor used to say that we are born in baptism and nourished in the Eucharist. Okay, I'm going to give you a quiz this morning. I love to do this. So John the Baptist, how many people do you know of that they have one name and then the and then something? Think about history, think about anything that comes to your mind. How many people you know that they're known as John the Baptist like that? Think. You got to talk louder because I can't hear.
Tyler the dog.
Tyler the dog? Oh, Tyler the dog. Okay, 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 okay. That's right. Tyler the dog. There you go.
Okay.
That's right. I got that one too. What? That's right. Attila the Hun. You guys are on a roll this morning. Anyone else think of things? What? Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay, we may need to give a traveling mic, I tell you. You guys are doing great. Billy Graham, the evangelist, correct. Donald Trump, the president. Do you know Donald's middle name is John? Nobody calls him John. They say President Donald J. Trump, but it's John. That's his middle name. I love being Kim, the child of God. I love being Kim, the wife of Frank. I love being Kim, the mother of Jonathan Franklin and Olivia Kirsten. I love being the mother-in-law of Jessica Marie. I love being Grammy Kimmy Kimmy to Trinity Grace and Joshua Franklin Stephen and Abigail Louise. I love that the most. And I have to be honest, this is only my fourth Sunday with you, and I am starting to love being Kim, the pastor of Ross Community Church. And I'm loving that. I'm loving that. So this is what I want you to think about. What is one word that you would want people to think about when they say your name, Frank the blank? What is this you want to leave behind? What is it you want them to think of you when you're gone? This is your calling. These are your gifts. This is your legacy. Your name, the blank. God will fill it in, and it'll be beautiful, I'm sure. So what is your first impression of this John the Baptist guy? What's your first impression of him? Suit and tie. Preaching in an air-conditioned church. He was a wild-looking preacher, wasn't he? Preached in the desert wilderness. He dressed in a robe made of camel's hair with a leather belt. Now, I have to be honest with you. This is my preaching outfit. I love this the best. You see this all year long. Don't get tired of it. Don't collect an offering for new clothes. I love to wear this when I preach. It's my culottes. I love to preach in it. But he'd get up, put on his robe of camel's hair and his belt, and he'd go to work every day. He didn't have to think about what he was going to wear. He just got in it and did his thing. He ate locusts. What is a locust? It's a bug. I think it's kind of like a grasshopper, kind of, sort of, like that. Has anyone here ever eaten a locust? What'd you say?
Not deliberately.
Not deliberately. Okay, not deliberately. But you know what? I have to be honest. If I was going to eat a locust, I would definitely eat it with wild honey, wouldn't you? It's like chocolate. I can eat anything with chocolate. It's just wonderful. So this is what we know a little bit about John the Baptist, just some first impressions. I didn't have time to study, and I really wanted to study because where is this baptism thing coming from? What's all this water about? And I'm thinking, but I don't know yet because I've not studied in depth, but could these baptisms be related to the ritual baths that they were required to take? You know, they'd have to take them over and over and over again. And in baptized, we're baptized once. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I haven't studied that yet, so don't quote me and give me permission to change my words after I study, okay? Jesus had a lasting impression of John, and this is what he said. I tell you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. And just when you think he's done, you're thinking, wow, that's awesome. He flips it, those radical reversals of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, I'm sorry, is greater than he. Who is he talking about? Normal people like you and me. God chooses who he's going to use. Be honest with me. Do you have a favorite sermon that you remember Larry preaching? Your favorite sermon he ever preached. Do you remember it? You remember it? You remember one? Okay. What about Grant? Remember a famous sermon of Grant's? Okay. I don't even remember what I preached last week, but I have appreciated a few sermons. Moving Mountains, One Bucket, One Shovel, One Cart at a Time. I love that sermon. And one of my favorite sermons on baptism, it was at Lakeside. How many of you have been to Lakeside? Lakeside, okay, Sandy's been there, Debbie's been there, Frank's been there. Beautiful, beautiful place where we have annual conference. We didn't meet this year. I really missed it. So we're there, and it's hot in annual conference. There isn't air condition. Oh, and there's fans going. There's thousands of people. And the bishop stood up, and I remember it was Bishop Craig because I was so tickled. I had never had a woman bishop. And when it really hit us girls is when the bishop was in our bathroom. The bishop's in the potty with us. We thought that was so cool. But anyway, so Bishop Craig is preaching, and I'm a very visual learner, and she holds up a piece of paper and says, do you see it? You know, all we see is a white piece of paper. But she holds it up to light and said, do you see it? Again, all we can see is a white piece of paper. If we were standing where she was standing, and we were holding the paper up to the light where she was doing that, there was a watermark bond. You know, old-fashioned stationery, always had that watermark bond. And that's how it is with God. When he sees us and he holds us up to the light, he seals the seal of our baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I love that. That's the only sermon I ever remember from them, but I love it. I loved when I was studying about church history, this Martin Luther guy, he was switching denominations and launching into a new denomination called the Protestant Reformation. It would be called the Lutheran Church. And you would never, of course, he's speaking in German now. You know, Martin's a German, German Lutheran. And he would never say, when I was a baby, I was baptized. When I was a believer, I was baptized. He would never say, I was sprinkled, I was poured, I was immersed. The only thing he said was, Ich bin getauft. I am, baptized. I am baptized. Isn't that awesome? People, I want to encourage you, especially you, young Tyler. When it hits the fan and it's going to, because when you start following Jesus, the enemy is going to be on after you. But when you hit it and you think, and you just don't know what to say or do, you just remember, I am baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there is power in their name. When I do premarital counseling, I tell the bride and the groom, I said, you're not just taking his last name. No, no. I love to tell this story. When Frank was a young preacher, he had a little black preacher book. He just shook all the time with it. He was so nervous. He did his first wedding, and he announced them Mr. and Mrs. by her last name. The congregation went wild. So for the next few weddings, we put a big sign saying, like, Armstrong, or you'd get it right. But I loved that. I love that. But anyway, so I tell these young couples, getting back to what I was trying to say is, you know, you're not just taking the name of James, but we were united in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are some of my favorite words in my heart. Ich bin getauft. At this time, we're going to take the offering, but before we do, could we just pray for a moment? Let's pray. Lord, John the Baptist came and went, and his entire life he pointed to you. He encouraged others to repent of their sins, to be sorry for their sins, and to turn away from doing what they had been doing and start doing the right things, the obedient things. Lord, his whole life was pointing to you. God, we who have names that have been given to us, when someone says our name and the word the and a blank, God, would you fill it in with your purpose and your plan for us at this time in human history? Oh, God, do what only you can do. May our lives always point others to you. In your name we pray, believing. And all God's people said together, amen, amen.